To read the new memoir by Harry Belafonte is to discover a man who's packed enough life into 84 years for 10 people. There's this smash hit from 1956, Banana Boat Song. There's a film career that made great use of his matinee idol looks. And then there's Harry Belafonte, the activist. In the 1960s, he was a confidant of Martin Luther King's. By the 80s, he was organizing We Are the World, the anthem for famine relief in Africa. For all his success, though, his path was not a sure one. It was his beautiful voice that led this child of Jamaican immigrants out of poverty and struggle.
Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountaintop, I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop, but I'm sad to say I'm on my way.
Harry Belafonte never intended to be a performer. Back in the 1940s, he was a high school dropout in Harlem, just glad to have a job, which he made his own.
Well, the job could not be considered artistic, but I did the job artistically. I was a janitor's assistant. And I loved mopping the halls, and I tried to look a little like Charlie Chaplin on skates as I just rushed up and down the hall with a wet mop, trying to take the boredom out of just all day long mopping halls and hauling garbage and stoking furnaces. But it paid off, because one day I did a repair in a tenant's apartment, and they gave me as a gratuity 2 tickets to a theater. So I went to this place, the American Negro Theater, and it was there that the universe opened up for me. I was first of all touched by the silence of the people in the audience. Everybody seemed so deeply reverential. I took my cue from that something was up. Something's coming. And when the curtain opened and the actors walked on stage, the evening overwhelmed me. And I decided what any device I could possibly find, I wanted to stay in this place.
You ended up meeting another young man who neither of you would ever, at that moment in time, have been able to foresee that you would become huge stars.
Well, the young man you're talking about is Sidney Poitier. I looked at Sidney, and Sidney looked at me. We were 8 days apart in birth, and I never really felt that he, nor I for that matter, had the credentials that we saw displayed abundantly with young actors that we were looking at. But we fooled each other.
I gather that when you and Sidney Poitier tried to see other plays in New York, you would share the price of a single ticket. I mean, how did that work exactly?
Well, you kept the stub. You walked in and one of us saw the first half. We'd give each other an update as to what we just saw. And the lucky one got to see the second half. And it was called Sharing the Burden and the Joy.
You described Sidney Poitier as your first friend in life. And now you were about 20 years old. So it would have seemed as if you would have had friends before that. But tell us why you didn't.
Well, my life was quite nomadic. I spent so much of my formative years traveling back and forth between the islands of the Caribbean and New York, where my mother resided. I was born in New York, and my mother, with her away much of the time looking for work, a lot of times her children were left on their own, and that terrified her. So she took us back to the Caribbean, and for the next 12 years, I shuttled back and forth. I did not get rooted long enough to develop what many people have the joy of experiencing, and that is childhood friends.
Work all night and a drink a rum.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Stack banana till the morning come.
Daylight come and we won't go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Indie songs from the Caribbean that might have come from your days as a child on a Kingston street. As you write in the memoir, someone might be singing as they're working.
The vendors used to sing those songs, baskets on their head, and they'd call out the names of the things they were selling. Guava jelly, guava, guava jelly, guava cheese. Come and get as much as you please. Now, let me say this about the songs of the Caribbean. And almost all black music is deeply rooted in metaphor, because the only way that we could speak to the pain and the anguish in our experiences was often through how we codified our stories in the songs that we sang. And when I sing the Banana Boat song, the song is a work song. It's about men who sweat all day long, and they are underpaid, and they're begging for the tallyman to come and give them an honest count. Count the bananas that I've picked so I can be paid. And sometimes when they couldn't get money, they were given a drink of rum. And there's a lyric in the song that says, work all night on a drink of rum. When people sing in delight and dance and love it, they don't really understand, unless they study the song, that they're singing a work song that's a song of rebellion.
You have been an activist since the early days of the civil rights movement, very good friend of Martin Luther King Jr. One memory that you write about is of your mother and something she told you when you were a very little boy, about 5 years old. You call it your rosebud moment.
Well, I tell you, the severity of poverty kept us all deeply preoccupied with our survival. And nobody had survival skills and had greater cunning than did my mother. She was tenacious about her dignity not being crushed. And one day she said to me, she was talking about coming back from a day when she couldn't find work, fighting back tears, she said, don't ever let injustice go by unchallenged. And that really became a deep part of my life's DNA. A lot of people say to me, when as an artist did you decide to become an activist? And I'd say to them, I was long an activist before I became an artist.
Harry Belafonte, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Harry Belafonte's new memoir is called My Song, and a new HBO documentary of his life is Sing Your Song. This is NPR News.